Heavenly Father, we thank you for the understanding and the wisdom, the knowledge that comes forth from you. Thankful, grateful that you are this way and that your word is this way. We ask tonight that your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, you've put forth in today's proverb to trust in you with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways to acknowledge you, you'll make our path straight. So we ask that you would lead the way. Lord, when we look back, we might think the path you, Lord. So thank you, and I ask to be taught by the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so tonight, like last week, it's going in and out. Do you want to blame me or do you want to blame Aiden? Is that better? Get it out of my pocket, maybe? How's that? Okay. All right. No clever titles for tonight. But a very important part of Scripture for me personally and, again, for us together. We then that are strong ought to bear with the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Glance back with me at 14:1, where Paul got on to the instruction for the church to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. And then he takes his attention to how we are with one another. And if you look at 14, he says, him that is weak in the faith, receive, right? The idea there of receiving one another, but that phrase, weak in the faith. So here in 15:1, you'll notice that 14, Paul is saying him that is weak. So he's writing this from the standpoint that Paul is strong in faith. Again, just need to hand that off to you, that being an apostle who was given to the church to equip and edify, that the apostle Paul is strong in faith. And that's important because of his background, that he had been in Judaism and he had climbed his way up as a Pharisee and had kept the righteous requirement of the law, yet was a murderer. And to describe now that what he says concerning being strong in faith, he's had to unlearn a whole lot of things. Okay? So, can someone shut that door? Good work, Sherry. Good work, Sherry. Chris says hi. I mean, Sherry says hi, Chris. There you go. Do you think he's listening?
Yes, I do.
Okay. He better be listening right now. When he gets home, he's like, Sherry, they mentioned you tonight and me. There we go. He'll keep coming back now. When it comes to this, strong in faith, and this is something that I believe has to be laid out. Because we're living in a day and age now where we're almost back to the book of Judges, where every man does what is right in his own eyes. We studied this going through 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and we understand the church is, there's a falling away from the faith. There is going to be, as we've studied this out, that the faith of Jesus Christ, again, the question he asked, when the Son of Man comes, will he even find faith on the earth? And so when Paul describes, again, himself and instructing the church, these are the things that he has learned, okay? These are the things that Paul has been Spirit-taught. And I'm going to use that phrase on purpose. Because as the Scriptures are given by inspiration of God, the idea that they're God-breathed, that the Holy Spirit, again, put this word. Yeah, he picked up, if you will, these 40 different men as pens and wrote the 66 books. But it's the Holy Spirit that inspired the Scriptures. And when Paul writes this down and he describes, we then that are strong, again, implied in the faith. Now, I had a really cool moment today, just preparing for today, and I'm looking back when we began Romans. And I don't know if anybody else noticed this, but the very first study we began in Romans like 6 years ago, whatever it was, I don't think it's that long ago, but it's a long time ago. We went to Luke 17, 7 through 10 on the very first night. How to increase our faith. And I left off the very last thing I said last week on the double E, double plus study of equip and edify to increase and abound yet more and more. And the instruction was Luke 17, 7 through 10. Now, I'm guessing nobody in here went to it. That's just my guess. This is how things work. Okay. Did anybody go to Luke 17, 7 through 10? Even when I mentioned, if you want to increase, if you did. Wow. Okay. So you know what this is. If you can remember it. So Luke 17, 7 through 10. That changed your guys' lives, didn't it? I think that got David saved. It was, wasn't it? Plus, you know, Sarah, I think, had a big part with that, too. But so let's go to Luke 17, 7 through 10. Luke 17, 7 through 10. And so I'm going to share my cool moment with you all. And you might not even find it cool. But I'll tell you what, this passage for me has meant, just about everything in learning how, being spirit taught, how to serve acceptably to God. Luke 17, the Apostles 17:5, Lord, increase our faith. The Lord said, if you have had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and thou be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And then this instruction here in 7, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come out from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or I think not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. And the way the Lord put that forth is to grow and increase in faith. He says, serve. Become a servant. Become a servant and do all the things that a servant does. And so when you read the miracles that Jesus did and you read all the things that everywhere he went and all the things he did, it's written of him in the scriptures, in the volume of the book, it's written of Jesus that he delighted to do the will of God. And all these things that he did, all of them according to the will of God. So when we come to a place like Romans 15, we then that are strong, again, implied in the faith, we then that are strong ought to bear with the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And that ties this section back together. And I'm fairly convinced as the more I read through Romans that Paul is really talking about the differences that would have existed between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers when he's talking about the food and day that they're worshiping on. Okay? So when we've studied out in 14, he's really pleading with the church, both of Jewish background who had kept the law previously, and Gentiles who knew nothing of the law. And Paul's categorizing here. And again, I'm just going to lay this forth. You take a teaching like Jesus there on the a servant, you know, and just again, and it's taught by Jesus, and then you take that teaching, and it's the Spirit who teaches you. My pastor always used to have a phrase, and I don't know if I'm sure he still uses it, but he said, ministry is caught and not taught. There's this part where there's this work of the Spirit that happens. And so what I'm laying out for us tonight, we'd all love to think we're in the category of we then that are strong in the faith, again, that implication there. And not to bear up with the infirmities of the weak in the faith. This is to the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles get saved in Christ. And again, you think of everything about Romans and then 9, 10, and 11 is about Israel. And then there's that admonishment to the Gentiles that they were grafted into this and that they shouldn't be haughty. They don't support the root, but they're grafted into this. We were wild by nature, but we're grafted in. And yet, if we're honest, the teachings of Christ and the liberty of the Holy Spirit really caught on with the Gentile church. Even as you study through the scriptures and you think of the book of Galatians and how those of Judaism would come around to the churches and they would seek to bring about again a repeat of the keeping of the Jewish customs of the law, and then they would be bringing people back to the law, and then that was about it would have brought about death. And that's why Paul says to the Galatian church, he says, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith? And so when we apply this, and this becomes very important for us now, that we would simply receive that, we, again, then, that are strong in the faith. Now, we have this ought to, and at this pace, I'm going to be here all night. Let's get moving on this. We ought to bear up with the infirmities of the weak. Find your way to Galatians. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Now, when you come to a Bible study like this, and you may wonder, how does the pastor know what verses go together? And I asked my pastor that one time, and he walks over to the shelf of their bookstore. I was down with him. He was working in the office, and walks over to the bookstore that they had above the coffee house, and he goes to the shelf and pulls a Thompson Chain Bible off the shelf and just hands it to me. Doesn't say one word, doesn't promote nothing. He just takes it off the shelf and hands it to me, and that's that. And he knows that if he puts that Bible in my hands, that answers that question. But it also opens up now years of study to be had. Okay? Now, when I come to this, I just know this one. I know Galatians 6, 1 and 2 because it's worth everything in church. So when you get to chapter 15, now I'm going to be very straight up honest with you on chapter 15. The Bible has everything for you. Everything for every one of you. Okay? Now you believe this. Now I'm fully convinced. I'm absolutely fully convinced that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I'm absolutely convinced that God's word has every answer. Now, in that convincing fashion, when we're instructed, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And we'll get on to that, not pleasing ourselves, in just a bit. But Galatians 6:1, we have an instruction. You have an obligation. You have a ought to in the body of Christ. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And then look at 6:2. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So I ask the question, am I my brother's keeper? Go all the way back to the beginning, the first sin, the lie, the deceit, the cover-up, the hatred, the anger, and just hiding all that. And where's your brother? God asks Cain. God, who knows all things, asks Cain. And he says, am I my brother's keeper? And God's like, his blood is crying out to me. See, this admonition, which comes next week, right? So again, teaching and admonition. Just put those two together tonight. Teaching and admonition. And this first one is, I've been taught. Been taught, right? Spirit taught. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Galatians 6:3. So we have a responsibility to, if someone is not doing as they ought to do in the Spirit, what are we to do? Again, you have a burden to carry, if you will. And then 4 says, but let every man prove his own work, and he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not another, for every man shall bear his own burden. But the words for burden there between 2 and 5 are not the same word. And when you go through a study like this and you say, well, do I attend church or do I participate? Are you an attendee or are you a participant? I'm all in, right? Again, when I think of Galatians 6:1, and if you can imagine yourself, would you be a brother or a sister to a sister, a brother to a brother that would say, I'm going to go to them. I can see the things that are going on in their life, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to walk with them, and I am going to carry what they're carrying until we can get them to Christ. Get them restored again. Spirit of meekness. Now, much meaning to all this that I have to share with us tonight. I just lay it out here first in this, not to please ourselves in verse 1. So if you catch verses 1, 2, and 3 of Romans 15, is not to please ourselves. Verse 2 says, let us eat every one of us please our neighbor. So again, please God, please others, forget about yourself. Well, let's use the Bible term. Please God, please others, deny yourself. See, this comes out. This is not an admonishment. There is no way you can come to this and ever apply it as an admonishment. It's a teaching. Matthew 16:24, right? Matthew 16, that's I will build my church. That's that chapter. And 16:24. Does anybody have that one memorized? 16:24. If any man would come after me, let him. Oh, you guys do know this one. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Why can that not be an admonishment? Because of the condition. See, an admonishment is where you would maybe have to like get a hold of someone and say, hey, stop it. Or an admonishment that would say, you are doing wrong and you've got to change your ways. An admonishment. But when it comes to this is the teaching. Deny self is not an admonishment. See, our Lord Himself walked that way and then He taught it that way. If any man wants to come after me, He says, this is how I live. This is the life of Christ. Galatians 2:20. You decide that the life of the faith of the Son of God, that's the life for me. That's my choice. The life of the faith of the Son of God, that's the life for me. It goes with the I have been crucified with Christ. Again, that's the whole thing. It's the decision Paul made. It's the decision of that if that this is Spirit taught. What Paul lays out here in chapter 15 is this is the way God is. This is God. And God put it into the scriptures. And so then when He puts it this way, not to please ourselves, so again, deny yourself. Why don't more Christians live out Galatians 6, 1 and 2? Or 1 through 5? Why don't they go to one another in a spirit of meekness and gentleness to correct their brother or sister who's in sin? Why won't they do that? Well, they won't deny themselves. See, the biggest problem is pleasing self. It'll keep you from pleasing God. And so this instruction here, again, instructions, great word, because instruction, teaching, that's verses 1 through 13 tonight. Next week is admonishment. Next week is the Bible has all the answers for every bit of counsel, correction, instruction that you need. And we'll be admonished next week. But tonight I'm teaching, right? Spirit taught. This is the idea. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. So Paul described how he pleased all men. The idea that he would do ministry in such a way to reach all men by living his life to get the gospel, to get the teaching of God's word. He wanted to live his life not as a man pleaser because he pleases God. Those are two different things. But that he would please all men, meaning that he would bring the word of God in such a way that they would want to be taught. This is teaching, Spirit taught. The idea of taking this up, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good. Again, I'm not trying to emphasize, his is just, it's implied. Please his neighbor for his good to edification. Speak only that which is good for necessary edification that it may impart grace to the hearer. You do see that this tone of the strong in faith bearing up with the infirmities of the weak. This is for the Gentiles, again, to carry the burden of their Jewish brethren who might still be eating kosher, might still be concerned about clean and unclean, might still be carrying with them the various traditions of the law, the washing of hands. And if you listen closely and you're taught by Jesus through the Gospels, what are you learning? Here's what I've learned, is that the keeping of the Sabbath was so weighed down with burdens that when Jesus came, that when he did the works of God on the Sabbath, they said he was from the devil. That's how messed up Judaism was. So then we need to understand that was brought into many's relationship with the Lord. And so then the Gentile church, Paul describing this as he was the apostle to the Gentiles, writing to the Romans and describing this to that we should be pleasing to edify our neighbor. And then he brings, it's Christ. This is the life of Christ. This is the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. For even Christ pleased not himself. And this, you know, back to Luke 17, 7 through 10, increase our faith. What does he lay out? I am the servant of all. Again, if you take the teachings of Jesus when he says greatest in the kingdom, he says the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord over. The great ones lord over everybody in the way of the world. And then the Lord says, but in my kingdom, right? In the kingdom of God, he says, it's not that way. He who wants to be greatest of all is servant of all. And so what he's laying out here, even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Now, just laying this forth in this great need to be taught by the Spirit to follow Jesus. And if I just say John 14, 15, 16, right? John 14, 26, John 15, I think it's 27. I don't know about that one off the top of my head, but 16, 13. One verse in all three chapters to describe that the Spirit's the one who teaches you the things of Christ, leads you into all truth, Spirit taught. The cross of Jesus. How do you learn? How are you instructed to carry the cross? Now, with a lot of passion, I have this chapter, and I realized when I hit chapter 15, I'm like, this is my chapter. It's like this. This one helped me out more than most chapters, just to walk and live like Christ. Christ pleased not himself. Now you just let that sink in. Could you just simply say that the life that I now live, and you put your name in, you say, Seth pleased not himself. And this is the part, this again, we're all in the category Spirit taught. Spirit taught. This is not an admonishment. You cannot admonish one to, hey, stop pleasing yourself. This, again, you're either taught by the Spirit of God because you take the words of Christ and the life of Christ and the Spirit, and you catch how the Spirit lived, and again, in the fullness, and Christ never pleased himself. If you're wondering about that, think of when he's fasting in the wilderness for 40 days and he's hungry. And Satan takes his best shot at him doing a miracle to please himself. At the well in Samaria. Again, woman at the well, it's time to eat. And again, that whole interaction, and he's like, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Sounds like a servant who is out in the field working, and then he comes into the house, and then the master says, prepare all the food and take care of all that and do all your duty. And afterwards, right? The whole thing of Luke 17, 7 through 10 is to be those servants that don't please themselves. Along the way, we come up with these things that we need, and again, we use them, but I need you to understand this. Like when I say that, are you a servant or a volunteer? The world uses the term volunteer and it creeps into the church and parachurch. Parachurch loves volunteers because they suck the life out of the body of Christ, taking the servants of Christ away from what they could be doing and what they're called to do, and they get them over to a parachurch to volunteer, taking that resource away, and many times not about the gospel or not about the building of the church. Now, when I just say these things, this is These are things that have been taught. Now, I'll lay this out. Even Christ pleased not himself. And in that phrase, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And this is the passage from Isaiah quoting that Jesus uses to clean out the temple. And it, as it said, that the zeal of God's house, it's that reference. So he comes and cleanses the temple and he immediately becomes a reproach to all of Judaism. By what authority are you doing those things? I mean, he could have said what? I'm the Son of God. You do understand that. He could have said what? I am the one who made you. And you're asking me about some tables. But he doesn't do that. And I'm going to lay this out for us in this way. And again, to me, this is my mindset. Because I think it's the mind of Christ. Where we left off Sunday morning, early morning service was, but we have the mind of Christ. Christ is our example. He carried the cross. When it says that the reproaches of I'll just say it. People don't like God and they reproach God and it fell upon Jesus. Right? That's our call in ministry. Again, many times, walking in these things, saying these things, and guess who someone gets mad at for saying them? Well, whoever went and did Galatians 6, 1 and 2. And whoever went and corrected or did these things, and there's a reproach with that. So here's what I've learned. As I carry the cross, right, in my relationship with Christ, it should be this. It should die with me. Do you hear that? Whatever it is, whatever reproach, whatever somebody else thinks about, doesn't like, doesn't, whatever it might be, it's just this bottom line. It dies with me. So there should be a lot that we can bear the reproach that others have towards God. They're upset at God. Angry people, right? They will live out these behaviors. Angry Christians who are upset at God many times will be upset at decisions that are made. Or Jesus cleansing the temple and all of the Jews, all of the leaders, the reproach falls upon him. And what does he just... And so I had this other saying. So it should die with me. Again, maybe that'll help somebody out tonight. I can suffer wrong. Let it die with me. But far too often, what do we as believers do? We spread it. That reproach that falls, I'm not going to be treated that way. And then we spread it to another person. But this idea of the reproach, let it fall upon me. And here's the other thing that I've been spirit taught about. Roll it back onto Christ. That does not fall upon my life. That falls upon the life of Christ in me. Spirit taught. Now, when I lay this out and it becomes chapter 15, really is, if you will, is the reason why I only use the Bible in all matters of faith and life. Okay? And when I use the phrase, these are spiritual issues, because it always tracks back to that. And when a reproach that when I would say, have you read your Bible? Have you prayed? What is God showing you? What instructions do you have? This first section, 1 through 13, is for us all to establish once and all for ourselves. We will be taught by the Spirit of God through the Scriptures to have the hope that God has given us. Christ pleased not himself. Again, that reproach fell on Christ, that life of Christ, crucified with Christ. I just lay it out. I need to be taught. I need to be taught. So maybe it's 30 days, day by day, you get on your knees and say, Lord, teach me to carry the cross in daily life. When you understand the value of Christ dying for your sin and freely forgives you, you come to him, you believe him, you receive him, you get forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin, best thing that happened to me. God forgave my sin. I'm not wondering more, that no guilt, no shame, no condemnation. I am absolutely free in Christ. Now I can Now I can walk with him. Now I can follow him. This life of Christ, that again, 30 days, Lord, teach me the cross. And just between you and him. You don't have to advertise it. Don't have to have a blog. Right? In fact, no one should really ever see my notes that it's just between me and the Lord. Right? And it, so this hidden relationship with Christ where it's, Lord, teach me. And you just bow on the knee day after day, teach me the cross. I'm absolutely convinced that I am going to have a reproach for living like Christ and living in this world. I'll be hated, again, taught by the Lord. And now we need to talk about that which needs to be talked about in verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime. This is a reference to the scriptures before Christ came. This is what we know as the Old Testament. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Okay, Gentile church, right, if you think about it, just really came to faith when Jesus showed up. Acts 10, Holy Spirit, the gospel of Christ. That's where the Gentiles getting saved. Peter's like, they can get saved. God says they can get saved. And so you would think that it would be all New Testament church. We only teach the teachings of Jesus here. You need to see this. We then that are strong in the Gentile church, what did Paul teach the Gentile church? He taught them all of the word that the Spirit taught in the Old Covenant. And he taught them the scriptures. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Now your version might say instruction. It's actually rooted to the word doctrine or teaching. Okay? So when I'm using that phrase, Spirit taught, this is not admonishment. Admonishment will come when? Next week, verse 14 forward. So none of this, none of you are being, you know, grabbed by the collar and shaken awake. Men, we were admonished at the men's conference to get into the light. That's different. That's a very necessary step for those who are sleeping and not walking in the light, that they need to be shaken awake. Very necessary step. That's an admonishment. But what are we talking about tonight? You need doctrine. You need teaching. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. What is the Bible all about? The patience and comfort. See, because you cannot go back and teach those who lived it out and their lives are recorded in the scriptures, they can't be taught anymore. They're done. They can't even be admonished anymore because what? They're done. How many times do we read through the Bible like, I'm so glad I'm not like that? But the truth is what? They're written for our teaching or instruction or doctrine. So the truth is what? I will find myself on every page as I learn how God, by the Spirit, what's this patience and comfort of the Scriptures? Okay. Might have hope. And I think this is what I would lay out with you is I'm filled with hope. I used to not be. Okay. And I don't know what your testimony of where you're at right now, but like absolutely convinced that we are going to suffer in this life, and then we're going to wait, and we're going to experience trial. We're going to have the effects of sin. And again, I chose, if you will, when God chose me and gave me this calling, I chose yes. So I knew from that point forward, guess what I will be doing the rest of my days? I will be working with sinful people. Right? I'll be working with those who need a pastor who has been Spirit taught, that the Spirit can then take these scriptures and then as a shepherd, pastor and teacher, that calling of equipping, that these Old Testament scriptures, they're for our learning. And just like, and they start going through, you can either catalog it by character or chapters, like you study the life of David. Well, actually, I learned more from Saul's life. I mean, where do you want to go? You like Book of Job. Is that the last book of the Bible you read every time you go through the Bible? Like, yeah, I'll get to that one later. When we go down to Mexico, Pastor Ron leapfrogged over the book of Job because he wasn't going to teach it. And one of the elders comes, hey, Pastor, you skipped the book of Job. See, because what do we really learn from Job? We learn how real Satan is and that he meddles again simply to tarnish, right? To accuse, and all manner of suffering brought to Job. And what is it said of Job? End of that whole book is, and God intended good in the end. The whole thing of that was coming to it, patience and comfort. Patience and comfort. You go through the life of Daniel. Again, we studied the life of Joseph with immensity. You have patience and comfort of Scripture. Again, this affliction that was put upon him, but God meant it for good. And in the end, the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Where's it at? In the Scriptures. Now, here we are watching a world that is without hope. Unquestionably, without hope. And then you have the worldly church, or Mr. Worldly Wise. If you can catch the reference to Pilgrim's Progress, Mr. Worldly Wise. The Christian who's applying all the wisdom of this world. Without hope. Now, it's the Scriptures. How, when you're suffering and you're in a trial, read your Bible. Or better yet. So this is, since this is an admonishment, see, sometimes when a Christian's not reading their Bible and they're moping without hoping, or the mope, right? Without hope. And then the pastor comes along and says, read your Bible. And after a while, you're like, I wish he would stop saying that to me. Do you know that? Why is he always saying that? And you start to despise the Scriptures. But why do I say it? I say it not so I can like kick you when you're down. Quite the opposite. What I see in Christ was Christ would not crush a bruised reed, if you will. He would blow that back into flames. And so when you're corrected, you're corrected. When you're reproved. But when you're taught, see, it's far better to understand this. And again, I came to this and I was like, I need the teaching of the Scriptures. I need to be taught. Far easier to have it in you when you go through trouble rather than when you're in trouble trying to say, what? Where is God in this thing? I never ask that anymore. Because you know what I've learned? He is right with me in this thing. And this is why you read this. And this is why it's about learning. Spirit taught. The patience and comfort of the Scriptures that you might have hope. Now, the God of patience and comfort. Again, King James says patience and consolation. It's the same word. So, the God of all patience and comfort put into the Scriptures the patience and comfort of Himself. Why are you looking in elsewhere for patience and comfort? Why go to the world? Well, isn't this Satan's tactic? It's presented as a shortcut. Right? How do you find the patience and comfort of Scripture? By the Spirit. Reading. Now, when I ascribe to this, and again, Romans 15, 4 and 5 has been with me on my note card, memorized from a long time ago. And this is the bedrock of why I am the way I am, that when I say, get to the Scriptures. And then I can just, like, do you know this, the life of Rehoboam? Do you know the life of Uzziah? Do you know the prophet Elisha? Do you know his servant Gehazi? I mean, you can go right through these and after you've been taught by the Spirit, you have them all. Every sin, every disobedience, you say, the valley of Achan. You're like, oh. And you go right through the list of the Bible's faithfulness to record the sins and successes of godly men and women. How important is a bad example? Like, you'd be taught, like, you think of Jephthah, his rash oath. I read through that, and his rash oath, and it's like, I go through that over and over again. His daughter didn't have to die. But you just that whole thing, as you go through these things, the patience and comfort of the scriptures. It's in the Bible. God will take those things and he will give you the patience and comfort in your situation. So you take like the Proverbs. You know, I'm even praying it. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's patience and comfort. Right? That you may have hope. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. Now, with great desire, I've come to this section of Scripture. And my heart's desire for you is find your answer in the Bible. If it takes you 20 days, if it takes you 30 days to hear from God, what's that matter? But whenever you're looking for your answer elsewhere, what are you telling God? I don't trust you. And furthermore, I'm sick of this whole patience thing. Isn't that the truth? But what's taught is the patience. We have need of endurance. We have need of patience. Let patience have its perfect work. Study patience. I mean, think of the sin of anger. That's kept around so you don't have to be patient in certain situations. Oh, I'll make something happen. See? But when you take that patience and comfort, and the other one, comfort, is you need to be comforted by the Lord. The scriptures. Again, when you're mourning, or again, you've been corrected, and now you're moping around, and you need comfort. And the sin of anger is the sneaky one, because when you're angry, guess what? You will not be interested in comfort. You refuse comfort. So then you got these things that were written for our learning. You know, you got Jacob's life, and he ends up with four wives. And it's like the whole thing, you've got this patience and comfort of the scriptures, and Rebecca, right, dies on the way, right, buried right by Bethlehem. Again, it's all picturesque, but she refused, again, prophetically, it's they refused to be comforted. You know, and she names her second born child, and then Jacob renames him son of my right hand, Benjamin. Patience and comfort. And again, you go right through all these things. This is the way God is. The God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, to be as our Lord. So it begins with denying yourself, but then gets on to this, I need to be taught by Jesus. This whole thing of patience and comfort. When I'm not patient or comforted, I'm not going to do anything like Christ. Not a single thing. Don't need to carry the cross. And again, nothing has to die with me. No reproach would come upon me. But this is the whole point. The patience and comfort of the scriptures to have hope. The God of patience and consolation sent his son that he would grant us to be like-minded toward one another, like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. It's straightforward. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another. This is why I believe it's Jew and Gentile. You do realize when it says in 4, these things were written for our learning, Paul's saying to the Gentiles, you need to learn the Bible. He's telling them, you need to learn everything that was written down. Find your way to 1 Corinthians 10. I even marked it tonight so I could get there. I've grown a lot today. So what happens when you're taught? How do you know when you've learned something? How do you know when you've learned it? Well, when you come back into a similar situation, you go through it differently. How do you know when you've learned what you've been taught? Changed lives, changed actions. See, since you have purified your souls in obedience to the scriptures, that's Peter describes, that's how you get saved. You're washed and cleansed as you obey the scripture, the good news of Jesus. So 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. What happened unto them? He just was talking about the time of the children of Israel in the wilderness. These things happened. These things were our examples to the intent. We should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. 1 Corinthians 10:6. Patience and comfort of the scriptures. You study the time in the wilderness, and that's all about patience. 40 years, same food, day in and day out. Do it 6 days a week. Prepare all your food. How many ways can you make manna into something else? 40 years of that. Same clothes, same shoes. They don't wear out. 48. If there's one thing that's like patience, well, then you got to get back to that time in the wilderness. What is that? The Lord, again, by the Spirit taught. He said to me, you're in the wilderness. He told me that almost 20 years ago. What do you mean I'm in the wilderness? So where do you think I turned? To the patience and comfort of the scriptures. I came across this verse. All these, 1 Corinthians 10:11. All these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. Oh, I'm already leading us into next week. Guess what? When the Lord says you're in the wilderness, now you're being admonished. Before we came to this place where we're going to grow up and we're going to study this, and I've been talking all about the Word of God for the last 8 months. Get out of the philosophies of the world. Get that stuff out of your life. I've been admonishing us, don't follow these things that the world's following. Don't pursue what the world says you should pursue. You need Christ. And again, I know that's a reproach. I know that it'll come across foolish to some, but to those who believe and receive that, they're like, I'm on to this. This word of God. These things happened unto them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come. And now the experiences that being Spirit taught says, I'm being admonished by the things that the children of Israel, what did they do in the wilderness? Well, they complained. Right? You've got idolatry, sexual immorality, complaining, tempting Christ, and you go right through the list, and then just one after another being admonished, so that the scriptures, Spirit taught, and then Spirit admonished. And when I describe it in this way, this quickly gets on to a one to another. I've just decided that I am going to be a under-shepherd like the over-shepherd as best as I can. I remember one guy one time, he was here for a time and just not very sound. Of a guy, and don't even try to think who it was. But as I was starting to work with him, and he had a big correction coming because he wasn't taught by the scriptures, but he thought it would be a nice thing to give me like an instruction book on how a shepherd should pastor the church. So I'm like, that's an interesting thing that he wants to teach me. Like, what's going on with this guy? And I go, so does he not think I'm pastoring the church, or is he, you know, again, I just simply lay it out that way. If I haven't been poring over the scriptures, I have nothing to offer anybody. Patience and comfort of the scripture. If the answers aren't in the Word of God, what are we doing in church? See, now you catch this thought as I lay it out. And the instructions are, receive ye one another as Christ received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. That's Romans 15:8. to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So this is where I get the Jews and the Gentiles alike. And then look at verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. And they're all biblical references that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Where do you come across these things? As you're in the scriptures and you find out that Jesus, the Messiah, wasn't just for the Jews, but he's for the Gentiles too. In fact, four references here for the Gentiles. I think Paul's laying it out for the Gentiles, again, who are the ones strong in the faith, and they understand this and they've received it, and even describe that. The Jews who were looking to establish righteousness on their own couldn't get there, and the Gentiles who received it by faith, they became righteous. That's what we studied in Romans. And then, so this whole thing of, I've learned Christ. That this is the Gentiles, that Christ is for the Gentiles. For this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Verse 10, again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord all ye Gentiles and laud him all ye people. And Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him the Gentiles shall trust. Again, so I'm traveling in Israel at one of my first trips, olive tree, and there's this shoot that comes out of the ground next to a really old olive tree, and it's coming out of the root. And immediately I'm admonished, or because I've been spirit taught, I'm like, that's Isaiah 11:1, right there before my eyes. That this, and then again, have this picture and then can see these things because been taught in the patience and comfort of the scripture. And this is it. I really believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Messiah that would be sent into the world. And I really believe that all those who do not come to faith in him will spend an eternity in hell. Believe that with all my heart. Because only Jesus, there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Only Jesus died on the cross as that sacrifice for sin. Without Christ, the guilt of that sin remains. And how important that absolutely convincing that for Jew and Gentile alike. And again, it's written here for the Gentiles, 4-1 in the reference that the Messiah of Israel came and he was a minister of the circumcision for the truth because they had the scriptures and he came fulfilling all that. But those very scriptures say, Gentiles, read your Bible and be spirit taught. Know these things. Let the Spirit of God take you through this. Know, understand. Genesis, again, every time I come back to them, like this is like one of the most wonderful things to come back to every time. Only God fully explains where we came from and where we're going. Nobody else knows. And that admonishment and that, where did death come from? And you think about the first sin recorded, the second sin recorded is murder. We might have put that one, that would probably take years to develop. No, it's in man's heart. It's right there. And all these things to be taught. And the Gentiles too. Now, here's the phrase. Again, I believe when he says, we that are strong ought to bear with the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. The Gentile church should be a blessing to Israel. The Gentile church should be a blessing to the Jewish believers. Now, the God of hope, you look at that in 13, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. How did that come to you? Through the scriptures. God himself is patience and comfort. He put it into the scriptures. And when you're going through a trial or you're reading about those that went through this and what is God like? How did God, where did God do? And so then you start, well, this is what God will do for me. The very fact that Israel still exists is evidence to me of God. And that in all their trials and sufferings, all their afflictions, all the hatred, all those things, right now, we're watching the whole world fulfill that not one nation is going to stand with Israel. Russia's right on the border. Those of you who study Ezekiel 38 and 39, we're only one hook away from them being pulled down to plunder Israel. This is nearer than you know. Now is not the time to get hung up in your own personal life over not feeling good about something as a Christian. Get into the Word of God. And again, my instruction to you is get the teachings. Be spirit taught. And when you're admonished about idolatry, complaining, sexual immorality, when you're admonished by the things that they did in that wilderness, receive your chastening by the Lord and make it right. We'll get on to that admonishment. But instead, many Christians now run to the world for psychologically based, again, if they say a Christian counselor, it's a deceiving cover of Bible verses. And so what's wrong with that? Well, in one sense, you can say, you do whatever you want. But on the other sense, it removes the patience and comfort of Scripture. And you don't end up with hope. The God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace, and believing that through the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to show you one thing before we wrap up tonight. Maybe I showed you a couple things tonight, but I'm going to show you one more. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Where's that verse at? Colossians 3:16. Why don't you find that one and read it loud enough for everybody? Colossians 3:16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart.
If you need a title for tonight, it's Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, right? Teaching and admonishing. We can use it for next week too. Teaching and admonishing. We need the Bible. We need the doctrine. We need Christ. But in your heart, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, what is that? Have you not been comforted by the psalms? Is there another book of the Bible that has the comfort of God that way? If you need comfort, where should you be? Day by day in the psalms, watching through all the depths and heights of human experience, and you should be in the psalms. Do you know where people who have gone through the most traumatic experiences that this life can dish out? Do you know where they find their comfort from God? In the Psalms. And when you come to me, it's like, did you look at this Psalm? I was reading this today. And just sending these things, look at this verse. Look the way God is. Look what happened here. Instead, Christians run to the world for something else. So the instruction is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Okay? Now, the other one I'll show you, I'll put it together. So that was teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, sing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Spirit-filled. I do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Where's that at? It's in the Bible. Okay, read it again. You first one up.
And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Next verse.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Okay. Do you notice what I'm showing you? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, right? Teaching and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Don't be given to drunkenness, right? That's excess or dissipation, wasted life, if you will. But be filled with the Spirit. And you notice the phrase, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So what do? The Spirit wants to speak to one another. You understand this. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. And he wants us to speak to one another with that which the Spirit speaks. Well, where do you find that out? And how do you know it's the Spirit? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. See, related. When I came across those two, I'm like, you mean to tell me that these things are not separate, but they're one? Yeah, they're one. When you have the word of Christ dwelling in you richly, and then, and I need to be Spirit-filled so that, yes, I can teach and admonish, but then we're also speaking to one another over these things that are in there. And then the last one, which I just added tonight to this duo. So I now have a trio of verses. Just so you know, I'm still being taught. Spirit taught. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Now, I want to leave you fully convinced with this tonight. That the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness. That if you will give yourself to be taught the scriptures and apply them to your life, it can make you wise for salvation, right? You can get saved by reading the Bible. Okay? The patience and comfort that is in there will be yours. The hope that, God put that's in himself that he put in the scriptures, that will be yours. Should not be a hopeless Christian. And if there is, you who are spiritual, you go to one and you restore him in that spirit of gentleness. Right? So a series of teaching, correction, admonishment, reproving. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2:13. It's now my trio. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. That should be enough evidence for you to say what? I'm done with the philosophies and ways of the world. If that verse is not enough, add Colossians 2:7 to it. And you can look it up later. But you should be fully convinced tonight, after going through this, like this is my life with Romans 15, 4 and 5. Fully convinced. Scripture. You can learn these things, and that's the way that these are. Like, how do you know that that works in that situation? Well, because God did it in that situation, and by faith, when he did it that way, he's unchanged. So as I believe and receive that and I apply that, God will be doing that. 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. If you want a title for tonight, that's it. The Holy Ghost teaches. John 16:13, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. John 14:26, right? He will take the things that I've said to you and he will, I think that's the right verse, make them known to you, if I have the right verse. The Spirit teaches, the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, get this, that word comparing is a compound Greek word and it means with judgment or upon judging. Upon judging. So guess what you do when you're reading through the Old Testament and this patience and comfort that you might have? Oh, what are you doing? You're letting the Scripture, like the Spirit teaches you, and you're taking the Scriptures, and it's the Holy Spirit who imparts these things to you. Leviticus 8. Does that mean anything to anybody in the room? See, Leviticus 8 to me, that's when Aaron and his sons were consecrated. And I went through and poured over that thing. I'm like, look at that. Blood on the earlobe, blood on the right thumb, blood on the right toe, then oil on the earlobe and oil on the right thumb and oil on the right toe. And now they're fit for service. Blood to cleanse the hearing. I got to hear what God says to me in the ministry. The work of my hands need to be cleansed. And where am I walk, where I walk, that, again, that picture of what I hear, the works that I do, and my walk, it needs to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, teaching and admonished by the Scriptures. And then I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I need to hear what the Spirit teaches. This is what this is all about. The Holy Spirit who inspired the Scripture wants to teach you and admonish you so that you would have hope. And then that hope could be carried out to another. So blood on the earlobe, blood on the right thumb, blood on the right toe, and then oil on the earlobe, oil on the right thumb, and oil on the right toe. So the way our Lord taught us, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why could not the Holy Spirit be given? John 7, rivers of living water will come forth from you, but it says that Jesus was not yet glorified, so the Holy Spirit could not be given. Leviticus 8, blood first to cleanse, right? Then the anointing and filling of the Holy Spirit. These things are not complicated, but then the teaching and admonishments right there. Patience and comfort. God, I wish you'd hurry up. Right? It's been said that God is rarely early. You know, God is rarely early, often late, but always right on time. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight as we come to communion for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. We thank you, Lord, that your blood has washed us clean. If there's one thing that we need to remember tonight, it's the blood of Jesus has cleansed. So we remember you tonight in that way. In Jesus' name, amen.